You're listening to TSN 1200.
I want to go over. Have you seen all of these?
I have some idea.
Okay, so these are based on conversations we've had on this show.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, Mindy Kaling calls out Colbert's unprofessional behavior as Mindy Project guest star. Mindy Kaling, Stephen Colbert's baby gift sucked compared to Oprah Winfrey's. Mindy Kaling mercilessly roasts Stephen Colbert after his Apple Watch cuts her off. The controversial reason Stephen Colbert had to apologize to Mindy Kaling. And does Mindy Kaling have beef with Stephen Colbert? Mindy, let's settle that last one. Do you and I have beef?
We're the new Kanye P. That's us now, right?
Kanye P, Kanye
P. Obviously Kanye.
TSN 1200.
Good morning and welcome to TSN Mornings here on TSN 1200. Hope you're having a good Tuesday morning. Lever Sage in for vacationing JR. Sean Simpson. And Cam is in for Matt Hamer. Also on vacation. A little rainy on a Tuesday. Lots of rain yesterday. Hopefully it clears up for the rest of the week. It certainly cooled off. Simmer yesterday from maybe one of the hottest, I think the hottest day of the year on Sunday, and a little bit cooler yesterday. How are you, my friend, on a Tuesday morning?
Good. One of the first times, Lee, actually checking the old temperature as I got into the car, making sure I had the coat going with a little bit cooler and a little rainy, so good to go. I know you had a little drive down to Peterborough and back yesterday. First of all, how was the ride? And that's never an easy ride on 7, right? But I assume with the weather a little tougher, along with a tight time frame of going down and back, he must be firing down the coffee this morning.
Extra large today instead of large. But drive was okay. Family good, so that was all good yesterday.
Little birthday party or
my stepbrother in town lives in not in Victoria, in Ladysmith on Vancouver Island, and the surprise birthday party for our stepmom.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So got together yesterday, which was fantastic. But as you said, long day and down 7. I feel like I know that road very, very well, Simmer. It's like you get through Perth and you get into Caledar and then end up going through, you know, Tweed and Actinolite where all the buses stop. So it's I don't mind the ride.
Yeah, I often think of parents that have kids that play for the Peterborough Pizza. My buddy Mike Dagenais, his mom Lise and Dennis, he played 5 years there, and they attended just about every game. So if you want to talk about a family, I'm sure Luke Richardson's family, although only a couple of years in Peterborough, but there's been a lot of kids there, including Mason McTavish. You make that ride, and yeah, you totally understand it. You know every stop. You know where to go, and you kind of get used to it. But I always found, especially when the weather was a little rough, a couple of times, I still remember picking up Peter Shirelli, who was working with Larry Kelly at the time, and we drove to Peterborough down and back, and I got to be honest with you, I was never a fan of that in scouting. I liked if you're going to be somewhere, just stay overnight, wake up super early if you need to. I found those drive back, especially any more than a couple of hours, just to be like, man, a bit of a grind there to get her back.
Well, you're a big junior hockey guy. I think one of the, for me, riding the buses for a few years, that drive, if it's a bad weather day, to Peterborough and back on Highway 7 with the snow and the rain. And I remember thinking, because I like to drive. I'm in the driver's seat. I feel a little bit uncomfortable in the
passenger seat. You're in the catbird seat.
Yeah. Well, I'm always in the catbird seat, Simmer. You know that. But I feel a little uncomfortable in the passenger seat sometimes. But when you're riding the buses, and I remember looking out of the window and thinking this bus is going pretty fast and those roads looking pretty slick and just thinking, oh my God, like this is something going through a storm and kind of not being in control and sitting on that bus thinking, well, I hope we make it home.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And actually funny, when Mira's driving, sometimes I like to sit in the back with the dog because I actually like the passenger seat better. I don't like sitting in the back versus the passenger seat, but I'll say in junior hockey as well, Lee, I was fortunate. Now, first year, a little bit different. You had to double up. I've never sat completely in the front. But by second, third, and fourth year of junior, all of a sudden you're waved to the back of the bus. But there is no doubt. And I can think coming back from London all the way to Sault Ste. Marie, waking up and just looking, and again, a little bit of a long view, but you're just thinking, man, I cannot see anything going on there. I'm just going to go back to sleep. Just to be quite honest with you, worrying at this point is probably not going to help me any should something happen. And hey, you think back to some of the unfortunate things, obviously with Swift Current, Broncos back in the day, and then you had the Humboldt Broncos. And yeah, I think that's one thing I'll be honest with you, knock on wood, and thank God, Lee, but for the amount of people traveling, just in hockey, but overall, but certainly for the buses, to all the referees, to all the scouts, I think been very fortunate over the years. There's lots of people that, as you say, go through some very treacherous conditions to try to get where they have to be. And it's not easy when you start hitting the roads in Canada when it comes wintertime.
I was always very thankful for the bus drivers and making sure that, you know, you told them how much you appreciated all of their hard work, because, you know, that is not easy, because you're not only doing it for yourself, right? You're responsible for a lot of people.
Yeah. Still remember a favorite line from our bus driver in the Sioux. ADL back in French, we'd ask him where we're at. He says, I don't know where we're at. He said, we're lost, but we're making good time. That was always a classic. Oh, and then you always were yelling, guys yelling, hey, put another log on the fire. And take a log off. And you're trying to keep everybody happy on a bus with 23 people, depending on whether you won or lost, a long road trip, the grind of junior hockey.
Lots of
fun times for sure.
I was always on the bus at the beginning of my career with Brian Kilray and Bert O'Brien, and I wasn't yelling anything past them sitting at the front.
That wouldn't have been feasible, along with a little bit of intimidation going on, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. You get on the bus and you stay quiet.
Yeah.
Remember a lot of good bus rides. Just thinking about all the junior hockey. And, of course, I covered a lot of that with AJ. And I remember Simmer rolling in. They got absolutely pumped, the 67s, in Barrie one night. It was a Saturday night. They had played somewhere on the Friday. I can't remember. And they had lost that game, close game. And they walked into Barrie, and I think they lost 8-1. It wasn't even close. And then Sunday afternoon was Owen Sound. So Saturday night, big snowstorm. I'm not exactly sure what the distance is, like an hour and a half, 2 hours from Barrie to Owen Sound. But it ended up being like 4 because of the weather. And we roll in, AJ and I, and you can picture this. And a lot of the listeners can picture this too. We roll in. It's, I think, 2 o'clock in the morning. The Owen Sound Hotel, probably the worst on the circuit.
Oh, okay. More of a motel than a hotel?
Yeah. I think it was a Days Inn, but not a very good Days Inn.
Yeah.
So you roll in, and the flower, you know, comforter spread and everything else. And we walked into our room, and there's one bed for AJ and I.
Little planes, trains, and automobiles.
Well, no, AJ not having any of that.
Okay.
Right down to the front desk. But we had had a couple of situations like that before where I end up sleeping on the cot, or, you know, sleep a couple of pillow cushions, sleeping on the floor.
Yeah,
and
do whatever you got to do.
Whatever you got to do. But AJ knew this time it was his turn.
Okay.
So he walked in, saw the one bed, and he was, knowing it was his turn, right down to that front desk. And, I mean, just, I can't believe the front desk kind of put up with it. But they found us another room, and they said it would take, you know, half an hour or 45 minutes to kind of prep the room or whatever. And he's just like, get in the car. Get in the cab. We're going to the bar. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I think we went to the bar in Owen Sound and waited for our room to get ready at the Days Inn. Woke up the next morning and had to wake up extra early just because of the snow. And it was just one of those trips.
Yeah. No, and then you think back to junior hockey, some of the crazy days way back when teams would arrive home early in the morning and then realize they have to go practice. That might have been, I never went through that. You heard the crazy story back in the day, teams having to wear their equipment home. And I can still remember, and Don Boyd, who is with, and I hope Boyd's doing okay, had a heart attack not long ago, I think at the draft in Montreal, on his road to recovery. He was our coach, though, and if things didn't go well on a road trip, you're kind of feeling it post-game. But then after that long ride in the Sioux, you come into the locker room, you pull out your gear's frozen, you're trying to hang it up. Everyone's just sitting there, they're tired, they're miserable, they're angry, and then you're just kind of wondering, what's the reaction going to be from Boydie? Are you going to give us a big speech, or are we just going to be able to head home? And at that point, all anybody wants to do is crawl into a nice warm bed and just go sleep it off. but those are the memories of junior hockey.
So you would get home from a road trip, and the coach would speak afterwards?
Not always, but you could sense as everybody was in the locker room, because sometimes it would depend on, hey, if it wasn't going well, it would be, hey, what's going on here? You know, hey, make sure you get your rest or whatever. We're going to be back at it Monday. You know, generally, if you'd gone a long weekend, you'd have a Monday off. So it was just more of an announcement of, could even be the trainer just coming in and saying, hey, here's what you're looking at here in the next little bit. And like I said, not a big speech, but if things were going real bad, you might get a nice little appearance there. A few more F-bombs and just send you home with a little bit of thought as you go into tuck into your nap, which didn't mean a whole lot. At that point, you're getting into cold cars as well, right? All you want to do is just get home, get into a warm bed, and just sleep it off.
I can't imagine getting home from those road trips and then getting to your car in the Sioux in the middle of the winter and then having to, you know, get the car off it. Make sure that it's warm.
Oh, exactly. Just the grind of it, you know, and mentally you start to get used to it, Lee, without a doubt. But for sure, I mean, those are, you know, but I will say with the Sioux, the travel, when you go down, like we go down to Windsor, we'd play London, we'd go down to Kitchener for a weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't absurd. You know, I think some people have a perception in the Western League back in the day. But overall, I mean, you know, travel, you had your weekend trips were kind of cool, kind of fun. And you know, you would shoot down to Sudbury for midweek games or to North Bay, and everything else ended up being a road trip, but it wasn't all that bad at the end of the day. Lots of good team bonding going on.
Well, and that's what it brings, right?
Yeah.
It brings a lot of team bonding. I have a theory, too, about some of the teams that have won, especially in the National Hockey League, but you see all the teams that have gone through, like, an immense amount of travel and how long they are together as opposed to, like, at home in their beds, and you hear, you know, some of these teams that I remember the Rangers, that they don't travel like outside of, you know, an hour and a half. They don't have to get on a plane for a month. And you hear things like that. All the teams that really have won, they spend a lot of time together in the planes and the hotels, because those things mean a lot, don't they?
Yeah, they do, Lee. I think it's also just a cohesion of a group, because I'm trying to think of from Tampa Bay to, you know, say Chicago recently. I mean, Chicago's travel is not crazy, but you're still in the Western Conference. So you're right.
LA, you know, as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there's something to be said for that. And I think it's just as much and I think it really roots back to drafting young players, bringing them through the system. And then do you want to spend time, right? Are you getting together a little bit in the summertime? Do you do some stuff in training camp? But you're right. I think a minimal travel at times can end up being, you know, you don't have that. And even when you're at home, one of the leadership components that can really take care of that, though, is having a good group that says, hey, let's get everyone together, you know, not just the guys, get the families together, good organizations, bring everyone together. So there's lots of other team building goes on, but I don't disagree with what you're saying. You know, there is a lot. And again, usually that's predicated on winning, right? Winning and traveling together. Everybody's in a good mood. Well, when you're not winning and you're traveling together, everyone tends to end up hating each other. So that's a whole different dynamic. But I think you're absolutely right. It's just kind of refreshing to get out. And it's not that much time. I mean, people think, well, you know, what's it like? Well, hey, most of these hockey teams are off for 6 months. It's not that much during the season to travel. And when you're traveling on charter aircraft now, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get to spend a little bit more time with your teammates and have a couple of more dinners and a couple of more times to be able to just get away and focus on the road. I think of Golden State as well and basketball. And I understand talent's the number one thing.
Yeah.
But as you said, when you mix that really good talent and you start winning with a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. I really think that that's something that a lot of teams.
It can help for sure. Now, I you know, you kind of go back now where guys have their own room as well, but still, there is lots of time to do stuff. You're on an airplane, you're traveling around, but it also is a leadership. Now, with the basketball, you're dealing with such a small group of guys, and I also think when you watch the basketball, Lee, it looks to me, and I'm sure that, and I go back to the Edmonton Oilers practices back in the day, it's also just that ability when you step on the court, step on the ice, step on the field, it's up-tempo, right? Everybody's ready to rock and roll. There's an energy of the group. Everyone's kind of pulling on the same rope, and you just hope you can end up developing that chemistry. And that's one of the exciting things when you look at Ottawa. They certainly have some talent, but they have that as well.
Big Red Cam is also with us here this morning. Good morning, Cam. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm well. And I was just going to ask, actually, do you think, I think after COVID and all of this bubble kind of sports, do you think that these players almost like maybe need to take a step back Simmer, I worded that terribly.
Yeah, what do you mean, take a step back, Cam? Or
because you're just talking about team bonding on the planes and stuff. But do you think these guys just would have spent so much time together in these bubbles where you can't go anywhere and you're basically you're going to the field, or the rink or whatever, and then back to the hotel and you can't really go anywhere. But now it's like you have to take advantage of those chances you get to go out with your teammates.
No, for sure, Cam. And every dynamic would be different. You know, there would no doubt be groups that are in the bubble that you just become so sick of each other. Now, I think the Lakers teams and Westbrook and that could have happened easily. And the dynamic, without a doubt, in basketball is, you know, it's kind of a two or three headed monster. And then it's everybody else. Hockey can be a little bit different. I think that's worn off. But what I think it also is that one of the best things, Cam, when you're traveling, especially in the National Hockey League, is the tendency to travel to a city the night before and just get out with the boys for a little team dinner, right? Just together, walk around a city. You're down to Pittsburgh. When that was taken away, you were in the bubble. I think there's just an appreciation now to be able to, hey, you know, it's not a big party atmosphere like it used to be. It's more of, hey, we're here for business, but let's enjoy the city. Let's enjoy the crowds. Let's enjoy traveling to different places. I think a lot of people are still very excited to get on a charter. I don't care how long you've been into your career. Like, it's an incredible feeling. And staying in great hotels and traveling around. But, yeah, every dynamic would be a little different for sure.
Right, like I think about Norris and Tkachuk last year, right, the karaoke clip. Do you think that's almost like just get out a chance, get out and let your hair down after a pretty rough season?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and for them, you know, you got a guy that had 30 goals, a guy that had 35, and you're right. Now, I think that was part of the process, and they feel completely different about the team. But, no, and then the other thing in today's world, man, pick your spots, right? Everybody's got a camera. Everybody's watching you all the time. You got to make sure whatever you do and perception and the night before and, hey, you have a little bit of fun. And there is no doubt. But the culture, and that's what Ottawa had back in the day with Alfie and his crew, it's so much fun, Lee, as you know. And you all come through the system together. You've all developed. You've gone from usually teenagers, the next phase to young men. Then you start to get married. Before you know it, you're like Phillips and Neil and Alfie and everybody else. You got kids together. Like, you've come through an entire lifetime. And that bond, to me, is absolutely incredible. You look at a guy like Radek Bonk and married a local girl, and his son Oliver now playing for Canada. And imagine for everybody that grew up around him thinking, God, that seems like yesterday. Old Bonky was coming in from the Vegas Thunder, and now he's got his own son playing for the under-18 in Canada.
Yeah, a little bit different. We were at the field the other night, Simmer, and, you know, for the Calgary Stampeders. And Steph Logan's a guy that, you know, I kind of grew up watching in the CFL. And feels like he just retired a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, he played into his late 30s, a returner, but one of the most electrifying returners in the history of the Canadian Football League. All of a sudden, his kid's running back the ball the other night. I'm like, Logan. There's no way that's...
Oh, wow, that's
and it
awesome.
Ended up being Steph Logan's kid.
Oh, that's
and
great.
You're just like, the guy retired like 4 years ago, 3 years ago. That can't be his kid, but it is. And I think, that's absolutely right. Traveling, bonding. That's what Kevin Durant does with his team, right? Simmer?
Yeah.
Not exactly. Kevin Durant in the news once again, delivering an ultimatum to the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, Joe Tsai. They met in London. He asked for a trade on June the 30th and met with the owner and said, it's the team or me? It's the GM and the coach or it's me? Who's it going to be? Well, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, Joe Tsai, tweeting out that he's got full confidence in the management and the coaching staff of the Brooklyn Nets. I think it's a clear message. He is not giving in to Kevin Durant and that Kevin Durant will be traded from the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant just can't seem to stay out of the spotlight in the offseason in any NBA season.
Yeah. And you certainly cross the line at that point, Lee. And the assumption is, hey, you're just trying to force the hand, make it look. And the NBA is a whole different animal. And as far as Kevin Durant getting moved along and I guess to the franchise itself, as they tried to go the route of the Lakers and tried to go LeBron to, I guess, back to Miami of bringing a group together and just never worked, right? I mean, never felt comfortable. Now, I guess we'll see what happens. They have Ben Simmons, right? And Kyrie.
Yeah.
And God, trying to deal with them. And Ben Simmons last year sitting out and then has a back injury. Kyrie Irving, I'd never want anywhere close to my team. So, yeah, it's scary time. But I guess from the Brooklyn side, the curiosity of how they handle this, Lee, is do you still take the patient route, or do you sell at 50 cents on the dollar and end up moving them out? You know what I mean? I think that's what he's trying to do right now.
Right.
I'm just trying to force your hand as much as I possibly can. So we'll see how it plays out, and that brings back, we talked before the show as well, how that would be a fit for the Raptors. And I know there's a lot of negativity. I've always been a KD fan, less and less as it's moved along here the last few years, but there's no doubt, depending what the Raptors gave up, and I wouldn't want to give up Scotty Barnes, but I mentioned to you when they brought in KG and Ray Allen with Paul Pierce in Boston, won a championship. Kevin Durant with Siakam, with Fred, with some of the other pieces they have, and if it was Scotty Barnes, boy, you're looking pretty close to a championship team at that point, but how would he fit in, and what the hell do you have to give up at the end of the day?
Yeah, Sham Sharnia, who covers the NBA, tweeted out and had a report in The Athletic. The Celtics, the Raptors, and the Heat, the top three teams for the services of Kevin Durant. And I really have a tough time with this one, Simmer.
Yeah.
Like, I really do, because I like Scotty Barnes a lot. I want my team to kind of grow organically. And this is different because they already did this with Kawhi Leonard, and he already came in and he won them a championship, and I wanted him to stay. A lot of people did. We're following the helicopters as he's going back and forth, and ultimately he leaves.
Yeah. And you're thankful he did.
Yes. But all I'm saying is, like, to win a championship, the Raptors had never won. It was something that he came in, the city embraced him, and he took them to a championship. So it's like I want to do it differently now. Like, and that's weird, right, for a fan? Like, I want to do it organically. I want the Raptors to come up and have Scotty Barnes and kind of form the team together and not just roll in Kevin Durant, lose everything you possibly have to hope that you're going to win, you know, next year or the year after. And I just don't like the guy. And I think as a fan, when you don't like a guy and then he comes into your team, what do you do? I feel like it's a really odd situation as a fan.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Now, I think, again, generally fans, and depends why you dislike them, right? There's some rivals that you hate, and, you know, all of a sudden they're on your team. You're like, man, I'm glad he's out. You know, you say Gallagher in Montreal, not at this point in his career, but then you'd be thrilled all of a sudden if he played for Ottawa.
Yeah.
In the case of Kevin Durant, I look at him, and first of all, I feel like he's a good person. But what I feel like is that he's a very insecure guy. I don't think he's a true leader in a sense of kind of bringing these things together like a LeBron James. So, yeah, it'd be strong for me to kind of go in the disliking part. But I understand where your feelings are at. And you then look at it from the Raptor side, organically, if you grow it with the existing group, is that enough to win a championship? Well, they really have a good-looking team. There's no doubt about it. Just as I said, these star players, that final piece that you always feel like you need at the end of the day doesn't come around very often. So we'll see what happens out. But I totally agree with what you're feeling. And what I always think back is how much time he spent in Toronto and back in the day, how much he loved it. Now, I think a lot of that was going up to the big festival that they used to have in Toronto, whatever the heck it's called. Anyways, but yeah, we'll see how it plays.
Caravana?
Yeah.
Yeah, he always used to go there. And look, it's a huge festival in the middle of the summer in Toronto. But yeah, I liken it to Tom Brady because Tom Brady's obviously the most successful, best quarterback that the NFL has ever seen. But at 45 years old, would I want him on the Cowboys right now? No, I wouldn't. I don't want to win with them. I want to win with the guys that are there. I want to hope that they can piece some things together. And I know that might sound silly, but at the end of his career, I don't want him. I'd rather watch him lose on another team than have him be on my team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, well, hey, everyone just feels differently, Lee. Like, I'd look at a Tom Brady for a franchise that hasn't been able to win. And if they said, wow, and Dak Prescott appears, well, he's a good quarterback. I don't know how he can do beyond that. But in trying to rally a crew like that, I'd be pretty thrilled. But hey, like I said, everybody feels differently about how they want to go about it. And it is a lot of fun when you can grow your own. And God, you go back to that original OKC team and all the stars that were on there and, you know, what they ended up having. Now they've gone right back into that whole rebuild. And the other thing that the Toronto Raptors have done, and this is where Kawhi Leonard, because you did wonder, and they must have done their homework with San Antonio. You know, he basically forced his way out with the injuries, with everything else. He didn't get along with Pop. Now he came in, and he realized, boy, this guy's a worker. He's a winner. But they also had to dance around. I don't know how many years you could do of this load management where your best guy's only going to play maybe three quarters or two-thirds of your game. So that's a little bit different But like, yeah, when you build it around and you bring these guys in, it's just understanding where they're going to fit in your culture. And my summary on that, the Raptors have a hell of a culture, right? They really have appeared to make sure that we're not bringing in any of the prima donnas or the people in the NBA that are, you know, they like, hey, come in here, you put in your work, we got a great culture, and if you don't fit into that, and yeah. The curiosity, part of me, Kyrie Irving never, but part of me feels like Kevin Durant would go in there and actually fit in very well, you know, and he would understand this is a very good organization. The biggest thing, and this is my only deterrent, is if you had to give up Scottie Barnes, that's a little bit of a Joe Nieuwendyk for Jerome Iginla back in the day.
Do you think he harbors any ill will from Game 5 of the NBA Finals when the fans cheered his injury?
No, I don't, because I think they cheered his injury until they realized the severity of the injury, and I think it's different. I don't think anybody, once they saw the severity of the injury, continued to cheer. There was a look, he was a very polarizing figure. He ended up going down. You know, I was in that group. I was at, like, when he went down, I was kind of like, well, that's great for the Raptors. And the second you understand how severe the injury was, you're like, no, that's not how.
It's still great for the Raptors. But yeah. But Lee, again, that got so blown out of proportion. It was a game. People recognized what a great player he was, and they realized and they respect him. And the other part of the basketball players all know is when they go to Toronto, how much they're beloved and how well they're taken care of. And I think it was LeBron and Green from Golden State. I think they were in Toronto this past week just having a hoot. And all the players really respect it. But, Cam, to your point, I understand. Then I think that's what would be neat. They've always loved KD. It was more a reaction of, oh, my God, this is our window to actually win. Yeah. That was the feeling. That's all. You know. And as I said, it was unfortunate. But I thought the American media, especially Stephen A. Smith, who I've become a fan of, they overplayed that, right? I mean, that would happen in any other situation. Then, as you said, then you realize, hey, this is a serious, serious injury right here.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be interested to hear from people on whether it's Kevin Durant or somebody else that's kind of that polarizing and that good, whether you would want them on your team at this point. You know, seeing exactly what they've done throughout the course of their career, would you want to win and kind of give up the farm to have the chance to win with a guy like that? At 12-1200, you can text in. When we come back, we'll talk some World Juniors and the Boston Bruins solidifying their lineup with a couple of signings. So we'll talk to Simmer about that when we return. Lee Versage, Sean Simpson, and Big Red Cam here with you on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200. Welcome back to TSN Mornings on TSN 1200. Lee Versage in for JR with Sean Simpson. And Cam, Big Red, answering the phones there. Early contest to win some Red Blacks tickets. Cam, who was the lucky winner?
Congratulations to Jim Donnie.
Where'd it go, Jim? Two tickets to go see the Ottawa Redblacks and the Edmonton Elks coming up on August the 19th. The Redblacks are off this week and get back on the practice field on Monday to get set for back-to-back games against the Edmonton Elks coming up at home on the 19th and then in Edmonton on the 27th.
I actually know the winner there, and it's actually Donnie Jim, and we went to different high schools together, but a little bit of a play on the words there, Cam. Make sure you got that right.
Well, I guess you don't know him then, because it's Jim Donnie who's getting the tickets.
Donnie Jim, Jim Donnie. Regardless,
Jim. JD or DJ, we can go with either. What? He's going to have some fun going to the old Red Black.
What I'm telling you is Jim and Donnie are going to the Red Blacks games with a pair of tickets.
Oh, one could eat. It's a neat seat, right?
Exactly.
That's like Brent Thompson. Do you remember he played in the NHL for a number of years, played with LA? Mm-hmm. His nickname was Two People. And do you know Wiley?
No.
They always said no one person could be that stupid.
It is spelled D-A-N-I-S, just for the record.
That's one of the classic nicknames. I always love that. Hey, two people. What?
Two people. It kind of comes across as a compliment for a second actually. Until you actually explain it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We heard the big voice say that, yes, TSN 1200, home of the World Juniors, and Canada gets going against Latvia tomorrow. The tournament gets underway today, and the U.S. and Germany at 10 o'clock At 6 o'clock, Finland and Latvia. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, Slovakia and the Czech Republic. Now, Canada played Sweden in an exhibition game last night and beat them 4-3. Did you see any of this or see the highlights of this game?
I ended up just watching the highlights, Lee, and just been combing over, getting ready to do the tournament tomorrow. So that's about it. Got the line combination, saw some other stuff. So it is interesting because it almost is down to, we'll see what happens to Slovak and Czech Republic and Germany, other teams. But at the end of the day, it's Canada, U.S., Finland, Sweden, Lee, and that's kind of what you expect. And the elimination of Russia, certainly the demise over the years of the Czech Republic and Slovakia, who are starting to build up slowly, but with a lot of their players not attending. So, hey, we always know with Sweden and Finland, no matter who you put on the ice tactically, they're always going to play very well. And that's always the biggest obstacle for Canada is making up that ground, that chemistry, and trying to build things and get ready for the tournament. And that's why, hey, kind of nice to have some tune-up games as you start off against what I would not think is be an overly competitive Latvia team tomorrow.
Yeah, I would agree. And, it really does look like it's Canada, the U.S., Sweden, and Finland, and then everybody else here at the tournament. Mason McTavish got himself a goal last night. So did Kent Johnson. And I think those two are going to be right at the front and center of this team, Simmer, when it comes to offense in the tournament.
Yeah, it sure feels like it. Now we'll watch for Connor Bedard. We'll see how Ridley Gregg and how he kind of looks, what his role ends up being. But you're absolutely right. Mason McTavish, and first of all, hockey DB, one of the great pitchers of all time for a young hockey player. Just looks like a lumberjack, just ready to rock and roll. And as far as Mr. Johnson, can certainly be a little too cute at times, but man, his skill, his hockey sense, and for tournaments like this that don't have a ton of contact, I'm not saying he's a soft player, Lee, but it really fits well. Like, he's a really, really talented hockey player. So you're right. Those will be two of the big names to watch for Canada as we start the tournament tomorrow.
So for Senator fans, this feels more like a tournament that you're worried about your own prospects sometimes than it does. Like, for me, I can't get behind, man, I'm living and dying with every game if Canada wins the World Juniors here in August. I feel like that a little bit more in the winter, and I don't know if I'm just pre-programmed to feel that way. But
oh, no, I think it's sadly. It's even understanding who's eligible for the tournament, who's not. Why are some guys on Canada right now that'll also be on the team at Christmas time? No, I think there's lots. And hey, again, even though we work for TSN, it would be naive to say that based on what happened in London and that sitting over it, and more importantly, and this is where I'll say from a Hockey Canada standpoint, it's unfortunate that people haven't stepped down, and I don't necessarily know where to always put the fault, but you look at certain circumstances and say to yourself, hey, Hockey Canada is very important to the country, both for men and women. It, to me, is almost a little bit on the selfish side, where this is an opportunity. Hey, whatever has happened in the past, it has to be fresh. It has to be new. More diversity has to be created. And I think even on that, and I say for a Sheldon Kennedy or a Haley Wickenheiser, I really feel like Lee and Bob Nicholson elevated to that post based on the Olympics, other things, but I think they need a bit more of a face to that whole thing. And Sheldon and say Haley or, some combination like that, create some diversity, start it fresh, start it new. These guys just trying to kind of hang around, I think, are only continuing to put kind of a black cloud, not to mention, hey, until we find out what exactly went down and who was involved, there's a hell of a lot of speculation going on. So we'll see. And my hope is you enjoy the hockey. People don't need to talk about that because it certainly has nothing to do with these young men that are playing on the team right now. Yeah. And then hopefully by the time we arrive at Christmas, but there's no doubt, Lee. I mean, this has been, a center point, and I was fortunate enough to play in it. But I remember as a kid, well, not that much younger, but the previous year in Hamilton when they lost to Russia, it became larger than life later when TSN grabbed a hold of it. And every bit of it was a breakdown of getting ready for Boxing Day and watching Canada play in the World Juniors. So how do you feel about doing that on August 10th? Well, that ain't quite Boxing Day. So I totally agree. I think for lots of different reasons, this feels a bit different. Not to mention, even if you ask the average person who's actually eligible to play in the tournament, it's flat out a carryover from Christmas time. You have a lot of 20-year-olds. And that's where I'm curious to see with the United States that went with an older roster as to how they fare versus, the other teams in Canada.
So Canada outshoots Sweden 30-26. They go 1-for-4 on the power play. They got out to a 3-1 lead and kind of held on for the 4-3 win. But yeah, it's what I'm going to be looking for sure here in the Ottawa market is how, guys like Ridley Gregg are going to play and to be able to follow some of the prospects for the Ottawa Senators. I think that matters a lot because that's the mode that people are in, too, is they're getting ready for training camp. They're hearing about the prospects. We've just gone through the draft. And if you're excited about your team and some of these guys are playing now as they lead into training camp, to me, that's what you're following. You're following that just as much as you are hoping that Canada wins the tournament.
Yeah, and in the case of Ridly Gregg, you age out. You know, this isn't a circumstance of, hey, this guy's going to be a pro this year. He's going to probably start in Belleville. Who knows? Maybe a little open in Ottawa. My guess, though, for the way they've been patient and developed, he's not a player you want playing in your bottom six as a 20-year-old. Go down and play, Lee.
Yeah.
But no, through the rest of the group, what I love, and just going through doing some homework and seeing who's drafted by who, back to the days of working in a front office, go to a tournament, kind of do a cross-section of, and I always go back to Brooks Like when we ended up going to the World Junior in Halifax. I was one of the players, along with Derek Roy, that really stood out for me that had not been, you know, they weren't the superstar guys. And that was what really started and led to us making the Peter Bonder trade. So it's a great opportunity to go and scout. And that's one of my pet peeves with some scouts on the amateur side with teams, where they'll go to junior hockey games and they only have two players to watch. They pretty much have their whole day free and they'll submit a report only on the two players. And I'm like, hey, what you do when you're doing that, you go and scout all the players. You scout the free agents. But more importantly, Lee, you got to keep an updated book on these kids that have already been drafted by other teams. So when it comes up for a trade, that you're well aware of them. You know, it's really, and it should be fun. You know, it's fun to go and say, hey, look at this kid here. I don't think this kid's very good. And for a World Junior, it's such a great cross-section. Not quite as much with the summer tournament, but come Christmas time, you know, that's one of your best evaluation tools of realistically knowing where your prospect's at.
Well, yeah, you have to. And then to go into this tournament. So what are you going to be looking for when it comes? I know you're going to be doing some of the coverage with Jim Taddy on the pregame, the intermissions, and the postgame. Are you looking for the same things that you would in any other World Junior tournament?
No, I think as you said, Lee, it starts out more individually, you know, and then you're always looking for the cohesion. And from an Ottawa side, also would like to see Dave Cameron do well and James Boyd. I'm assuming they'd like to do well and be nice to see them carry over to Christmas time. So there's that angle. So no, there's certainly the team aspect, and this just feels like, you know, one way or another, a collision course in the gold medal game with the United States, and don't like losing to the United States. And old Nate Lehman, who is the coach of Providence College, is one of the cockiest guys on the planet. So that's a bit of the personal feel for me, Lee. You know, just kind of getting a feel for it. And then as the games go on, and again, that's the unfortunate with Russia being out, the preliminary games that Canada plays, I think other than what Finland, you know, you're not going to see a lot. So go through the individuals, watch and enjoy, and just sit back. And yeah, that's all. I don't really have, I guess, a tact as I'm going in. It's just trying to familiarize my size as you get to at least a quarterfinal, right, semifinal and final as to, hey, where does Canada kind of place? What is the strength of Canada? And what's the rest of the group looking like, especially the United States?
What do you know? Like, why do you say that about the Providence?
Oh, I just, yeah, no, he's one of these guys. Like I say, he's very, very proud American, but he's also very anti-Canadian. And so it just, and there's, I don't mean that on a personal level, Lee. It's just, hey, there has always been, even when I worked in the National Hockey League, there's a good rivalry between the United States and Canada, the U.S. scouts, the Canadian scouts. And one of the things I said to JR, which has, you know, doesn't factor in what's going on with Hockey Canada, Lee, but one of the things that did happen over the years is that, you know, there was a lot of arrogance of Hockey Canada when they traveled around. And there were a lot. I remember going to the tournament in Sweden years ago and kind of the atmosphere around the Canadian crew and Hockey Canada. I was starting to think, God, they're kind of becoming American, right? It was so over the top, so cocky, where I think that's added to. And I would assume the United States, well, there's nothing the American kids love more. Go back to 2004 in Helsinki.
Yeah.
You're going to win, man. Taking down Canada is such a big deal, you know, and means a lot to the American kids. And for the Canadian kids, that's by far our greatest rival, especially when you eliminate the Russians.
Going into this tournament, for me, I'm hoping that people are able to separate what's going on with Hockey Canada and the kids at the World Juniors. And I almost think that this is a good thing, Simmer, and not let this kind of story fester until the World Juniors in December, that by having this tournament and hopefully focusing on just the kids and their development and what they're doing on the ice, because they have nothing to do with what has happened here at the very top of Hockey Canada, that people are going to get some of those feelings out of the way, because when they start watching the hockey and realize, okay, these are just kids and they have nothing to do with anything, I think that actually helps if there's some changes made. And I'm with you. I hope that Hockey Canada does make some significant change as the fall goes along. But I'm hoping, I guess, that this all kind of continues in a good way, where you have the World Juniors and people are focused on the kids. You get some change at the top of Hockey Canada, and then you go into the World Juniors in December, and some of this is behind you already because we've been through some of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, it totally does, Lee, and I just totally agree. Now, personally, for each individual, that's a hard thing to gauge, but that black cloud that the group has created by staying on has not helped. But in the case of the hockey, I agree. Just like a little relaunch. And I know it sounds very strangely, but when I look at where Hockey Canada's at and I kind of look at the growth of it and all the things, and I'll go to the jersey component, one of the things I would do if I was Hockey Canada, first of all, again, depending on the term, I'd really go something fresh and new when it comes to the jerseys. And one of the things I do automatically is get rid of those black jerseys. I would go back to nothing but red and white. I don't want anything else on the jersey. And I want something that's just kind of fresh and new. And by the time you get to Halifax, that's what you're feeling, along with hopefully a change of the board and everybody else involved. And that's not going to make it perfect at that point. But I think those are a couple of things there to just do a bit of a rebrand. Like, I think it's gotten so far away from. And again, I know I'm wrapping this all in. But when I see those black jerseys come out, I just think to myself, that has nothing to do with Canada. Like, you don't go to other, like, you know, if you're in England and they're going to the World Cup of Soccer, if they roll out with a jersey, anything but the colors of the country, people would be upside down. I don't for the life of me understand that, Lee. And I know people think it looks cool, looks great. It has nothing to do with Canada. Canada is red and white, and nothing else should touch that jersey other than that.
You know, I really never thought of it that way. I don't disagree with what you're saying either.
I even go back to, you know, the simplicity of the, you know, the 72 jersey, you know, and things like that, you know, like you go back and you look at that and say, okay, that's Canada, you know, and you know, when I played in the World Junior, the jersey was red and white because that's Canada. It had nothing else. And like I say, it's just all little things, and that's more on the PR side, Lee, but little things that I would try to do to just kind of, you know, get back to kind of the basics here of what this means to the country, and not all the marketing, not all these 10 different jerseys that we end up having. And
right,
certainly just get rid of that whole black jersey. I cannot for the life of me understand that one.
You're not thinking Canada Cup though, right? With that huge kind of cut off half leaf.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not feeling that.
Well, it's not a matter of feeling that, Cam, because I know that ship has kind of sailed. My point is getting back to the basics of the coloring, and there's lots of different things. Go back to the 87 jersey I have at home. It's white and red, because Canada is white and red. The logo itself is actually tremendous. Now, you could have some fun with third jersey and other things, but I just think in that I know the gold jersey or whatever, that pasty yellow, pays homage to the past, which I don't mind that. But at the end of the day, you get right back to good old red and white.
Yeah, and to your point, the third jerseys in all kinds of different sports, whether it's hockey or football at the professional level, I think people like. But when it comes to representing your country and getting back out there on the ice, especially with this country at the very top needing a bit of a reset and getting back to basics, I actually really agree with your point here about, like, let's just simplify things. Let's just get back to, you know, what the country is about and restoring some of that. And it sounds simple that you would start with a jersey, but it does represent you, right? When you go into this tournament, when you go into the tournament, and how much is going to go on within Hockey Canada coming up in the next 6 months, hopefully, with some of the change that's going to come because of what's happened. A reset to what you're all about seems little, but when you put it like that, Simmer, it doesn't seem simple at all.
No. And again, the other part, again, that you have negativity, things come along in sports and in life that happen. It is also to realize that and this is where I see two separate issues here. What happened in London, Ontario was with men of age, I think they were, they are basically adults. The other side of this is the protection of athletes and young people that are minors in that. I'm a lot more worried about that than the other things. Now, that's the other story's negative, but man, I'm worried about making sure that hockey is a great experience at every level. or whoever enters the rink. And for a lot of kids in Canada, it is that. Now, you have some negativity without a doubt, and you're always trying to work on that. But it is such a big part of our fabric, so important to the kind of culture and everything else. And you just also look around and see what a great job that basketball to soccer, you know, to tennis, to other sports are now doing in the creation of diversity. And I think about Canadian soccer. Now, am I going to be wrong in saying that Canadian soccer, do they wear a black uniform, or are they always going red and white?
No, I don't think they're going with a black uniform. Yeah, if they rolled out, and I was just thinking that at the World Cup, if they rolled out with a black uniform at the World Cup, I'd be pretty upset.
Well, I just don't. And again, Lee, I also understand where it's kind of gone, but I don't get it. Like I said, I'll say from a United States standpoint, you know, if the United States showed up with anything other than red, white, and blue, and I know the simplicity of red and white, but I do think it's a bit of a deviation, and it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But I do think that's an opportunity, like I said. And Cam's, you know, much younger, and I respect the 72 jersey because I didn't even think as a kid it was great. But I do think at the end of the day, and the other thing that was really cool, and this would be, and again, it's a bit more of a PR thing. You know, one of the things they focused on back in the day was not putting the name on the jersey, right? The 72 series, all every jersey had Canada on the back, did it not? Did they have the actual names?
I don't think so, but I'll have to double check.
Yeah, I hope I'm right on that. Or it might have been different in Canada versus on the road. I'm sure if Liam is listening. But just little things there, you know, like I said. And I'm not trying to create some type of a PR stunt, but I think there are some things here that can be accomplished with a relaunch, a rebranding, and it has to be of substance, right? I'm not trying to pull off some PR scam. It's like, hey, first thing that has to happen is there has to be a new face, a new board, diversity with Hockey Canada. And then I think there's lots of little things we can do to just kind of go back to what is an incredible past and an incredibly proud, you know, that really started in 1972 of bringing a young country together.
And Canada was on the back of that.
Okay.
Jersey.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. So you're absolutely correct on that. All right. We'll take a break. We'll get a 580 CFRA news update with Chris Holsky, and we'll come back and talk about the National Hockey League. With the Boston Bruins getting a couple of big veterans back in their lineup. There have been a couple other signings as well, and we'll get Simmer's opinion on all of it when we start Hour 2 of TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.